The scripture reading this morning will be coming from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. And the word of the Lord reads, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely, blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek."
We are eternally grateful for everyone who is here on this morning, and want to let every mother know that we wish you a happy Mother's Day, and hope, pray, and trust that today will be a day where you will be honored. We know that these days can have mixed emotions. And the reason why is because sometimes there has been a parting of ways, and it makes life a little bit challenging during the times of holidays. So we're sensitive to that, and want to let you know that we indeed want to extend our Happy Mother's Day to you. We are in a series of lessons concerning increasing the reliance upon his promise. And on last week, we discussed a few points concerning that very subject. And we were able to look into Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 through verse number 18. And so we're going to look at a few points that we did not consider on last week. Hope, pray, and trust that what we have to talk about will be beneficial. And the goal of this particular lesson is for us to really dig into the promise that God made to Abraham and to others, but to also understand that he is the God that keeps his promise. He keeps his word. And so we can rely upon him. And sometimes in life, there are those that we cannot rely upon. And sometimes it's that person we look at in the mirror. However, the God of heaven, who has a pristine track record, his resume is great, and he has never told a lie. He has always come through. He has never failed. And when we consider this and we think about what we talked about on last week as relates to increasing our reliance, increasing our trust, being able to bank on or count on and lean upon the promise of God. And we discussed how God made a promise to Abraham. And we looked at how God promised the church, and that we can rely upon those promises that he made to Abraham, and that he made concerning the church, the called out, the ecclesia, that refuge, if you will. But we also talked about how God will never leave us nor forsake us, and how he never left those of the past, And he hasn't left those today. And as time continues to march on, and if Jesus Christ doesn't return within the next few seconds, he's going to do it in the future as well. And so when we think about this, I want us to continue our thoughts as it relates to increasing our reliance upon his promise. Point number one, today. And when we think about today, yesterday is gone. There's nothing we can do about that. And tomorrow is not here. We might not see it. But we can do something about today. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, and verse number 7, I want to take notice of something real quick, because the Hebrews writer, as he is giving argument after argument after argument, if you will, in other words, proof after proof after proof, that Jesus is superior. Superior to angels, superior to Moses, superior. And he is the one that they needed to rely upon. And he is the one that we need to rely upon today. Yet in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7, verse 13, and also verse number 15, we see something that is very interesting as it relates to the people of God. The people of God had trust issues. They didn't bank on the promises of God. They didn't rely upon his promise. In other words, God gave his word, and because it wasn't mixed with faith, they did not enter into the promised land. That promised land was that land that flowed with milk and honey. It was that land that God promised to Abraham long before the promise came to fruition, if you will. So in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today, the Holy Spirit was telling the people of God, then he was telling the people of God during the time of the Hebrew letter, and he's telling us today, listen to him, listen to Jesus, listen to God. Drop down to verse number 13. We see the same language, if you will. Start at verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. One thing that hardens our heart is deceit. And if we're not careful, today we can have ourselves falling into the realm of unbelief. But drop down to verse number 17. In verse number 17, we see the same language, really verse 15 rather. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. God does not want us to be a rebellious people. He does not want us to be a people who are not relying upon him. We need to do it today. So go back to Hebrews chapter 2. And I want us to talk about, under this particular title or subject, increasing our reliance upon him today by giving heed to our salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2, the first three verses, we see something that God promised. Notice, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Friends, we have a responsibility as the people of God not to neglect salvation. There's one thing to take a bat and knock your teeth out with it. There's another thing not to brush your teeth. When you don't brush your teeth, Brother Ryan, your teeth will begin to decay. If you don't get those teeth fixed, those decays worked on and fixed, your teeth will rot out. It's the same when it comes to our salvation. When we think about relying upon God today, we need to give heed to our salvation. Pay attention. I told the teenage class 2 weeks in a row, and I'll tell y'all, we don't pay attention sometimes to our salvation, to the deliverance that God has blessed us to have, and the very fact that he sent his son, and his son came to this earth when the word put on flesh and came to this earth to save us from our sins. God is teaching us, pay attention. Pay attention. Why? Because when you pay attention to your salvation, you will not drift away. There are so many that have left the Lord's church. They have left the Lord. And some people believe that you can leave the church but not leave the Lord, but you can't leave the Lord and not leave the church. You cannot leave the church and not leave the Lord. They go hand in hand. To leave one is to leave the other. Here we see that the Hebrews writer, he is encouraging them through implication, and he's also encouraging them through imperative that they needed to pay attention to their salvation. This was a salvation that was given to them by the word of God. It was given to them also through the miraculous, if you will, and it was proven through the miraculous. Hence the reason, verse number 4, which we're not going to be working or dealing with. So we need to give heed to our salvation as well, being delivered from sin. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, real quick, the first 6 verses has something to say about how a person is saved. God has given a promise. That promise that we will be saved from our sins. Jesus would speak the gospel, if you will, and he would tell his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And so Paul, as he's talking to the church at Rome, has something to say concerning those who thought that they could live in sin. In other words, they were neglecting their salvation. In other words, they believed that the more that they sinned, the more grace abounded. But that was not true. Paul, as he is writing with the good brethren, writing to the good brethren here, he's reminding them of some things. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should not no longer be slaves of sin. Friends, did you notice that? Here, we had those individuals during the time of the brethren at Rome who believed that they could neglect their salvation. They could live in sin. They can do whatever they will, and God's grace is going to cover them. Paul says, certainly not. Don't neglect your salvation. Today, you need to turn away from your sin. Today, you need to realize who you are in Christ Jesus. You died to sin, and now you need to be walking according to the Spirit's teaching. But take notice to Hebrews 3. We need to give heed to our salvation. If we're going to increase our reliance upon God today, we need to be keeping Jesus in the forefront of our minds. I tell you, I found some things this week as I was considering Hebrews. And I said to myself, okay, where has this been the whole time? But that's what you do when you're studying the Bible, brethren, friends. You come across things that you haven't seen before. Why? Because God's book is a living book. And the more that we study, the more that we begin to rely upon God every single day. So we don't need to be giving heed to sin. We need to be giving heed to our salvation. We need to be keeping Jesus in the forefront of our minds. Hebrews 3, look at the first 3 verses. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Now, I want us to stop real quick, because first of all, we as the people of God need to remember that we're partakers of the holy calling, the heavenly calling, the high calling. Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. I want you to take notice of something that is very powerful. In verse number 12 through verse number 14, notice what our dear brother Paul says to the church here at Philippi. Not that I have already attained or am already perfect or perfected or whole, if you will, mature, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or made it, if you will. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things that are ahead, I press towards the prize of the upward call. I think one translation says the high call of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Friends, this is a high calling. This is a heavenly calling. This is an upward calling. Paul would tell the church at Thessalonica that you are called by the gospel. Hold on, we shouldn't neglect that. God made a promise. We need to rely upon that promise. Go back to Hebrews chapter 3. I want you to see this. Here, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. The word consider there is very powerful. It's that idea of looking into something, gazing into something, thinking about something, pondering something, having that information, if you will. Here we see that the Hebrews writer says, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Hold on. Who is that? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, an apostle. Christ Jesus, a high priest. He says, think about him. Consider him. Well, what should I consider about him? Notice what the text says. Who was faithful to him. Hold on. Jesus was faithful to God the Father? Absolutely, he was faithful. Well, if Jesus was faithful, then I need to be faithful. If Jesus relied upon his Father, I need to rely upon my Father. If Jesus is trustworthy, then I need to be trustworthy. But what does that look like? Well, it looks like me depending upon his promise, depending upon his word, depending on what he has in store for me. But I want you to turn to Hebrews 12. In Hebrews 12, and verse number 1 to 3, with the emphasis on verse 3. And I want us to consider something real quick, because in Hebrews chapter 11, we have what is known as the Faith Hall of Fame, if you will. We have those individuals who are just faithful to God based upon the word that was given to them. God would give a command, they would keep that command. God would give them orders, they would do their best to keep those orders, which demonstrates that the command and their life matched. So here we have something very, very powerful. Look at verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded or compassed by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. I believe the sin that he's talking about there, Hebrews 3, 12 and 19, is the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief, which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now notice who the Hebrews writer tells us to look to. Looking unto Jesus, gazing unto Jesus, staring at Jesus. You know, this word is the idea of just staring so much that you can't keep your eyes off of it. You know, it's like when Evelyn and I first met, she just couldn't keep her eyes off me. (Laughs) No, it was the other way around, truth be told. But I figured y'all wake up a little bit after that comment. Ryan's sitting there shaking his head like, this guy. But seriously, that word is the word that you're looking at it so intensely that you can't keep your eyes off of it. He says, looking unto Jesus, notice the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, notice something about Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy? What joy? The joy of being a servant, the joy of putting on flesh, the joy of living down here on this earth, the joy of dying on the cross, the joy of being raised by the Father, the joy of sitting at the right hand of God, endured the cross, despised the shame. And notice the reward? He sits down at the right hand of the throne of God. But look at verse 3. For consider him. Contemplate him. Really look at him. Think about him. Investigate him. Hold on. See, this word here is different than the one that we saw in Hebrews 3 and verse 1. This word here is strong. Go back and do your own study. I promise you, you'll be so blessed when you see. Hold on. Hebrews 3, verse number 1, consider in the English. Hebrews 12, and verse number 3, consider in the Greek. They're different words. They're different words. One of them is stronger than the other. The one here in Hebrews 12, and verse number 3, is a strong word. It's a powerful word. Really analyze it. Think about what they did in Hebrews chapter 11, and think about what they went through. Now, then think about what Jesus went through. Now, think about what you need to go through. Amen. Think about what you need to go through in order for you to go and see God one day. Friends, everybody that saith, Lord, Lord, unto me shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Brother Mike, what does this have to do with relying upon the promise? Everything. It has everything to do with it. Because if I don't keep my eyes on Jesus, if I don't analyze what he did and what he went through, and if I don't analyze what they did in Hebrews chapter 11 over the corridors of time, then I won't make it. I'm not talking about not making it to heaven. That's the byproduct. I'm not going to make it down here. I'll lose myself. I'll engage in sin and stay in it. I'll justify my lifestyle and wouldn't care nothing about it. People will try to help me along the way, and I just won't heed to it. But the promises, that's what keeps me focused. What promise? I'm glad you asked. Go to Revelation 22, the last book of the Bible. Revelation 22, starting at verse number 1. Friends, if Jesus conquered difficulty doing the will of God, we can too. Do we believe this? On many occasions, you find Jesus asking individuals, do you believe this? I ask you that question this morning. Do you believe that? There is a promise for those who are faithful. There's a promise that consider the apostle and high priest, Jesus the Christ. There's a promise to those who consider. I mean, they analyze the life of those in the past, and they analyze the life of Jesus Christ, and they analyze their own life. There's a promise. What promise? Revelation 22. In Revelation 20, you got the judgment scene, 11 and following. Revelation 21, you have the church glorified. Why? New heavens and the new earth, the old heavens, the old earth are gone. And now there's only one system left, and that's the system of spirituality and eternality. Revelation 22, we see some beautiful picture being painted here. And he showed me a pure water, river, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree, now watch this, were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. No more curse. Remember when God cursed the earth? Remember when Adam partook of that fruit and they died? No more death, friends. God made a promise. Question, do you believe the promise? Do you believe that? Are you willing to consider those who were of the past that received instruction, received commands, and they did what God said? Will you consider Jesus Christ, who endured such contradictory sinners against himself, who is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God? Because of his success, we can be successful as well. Look at verse number 3, the latter part. Verse 4, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Hold on. There was a time when God, when Moses rather, wanted to see the face of God, and God told him, no man can see me and live. One day we'll actually be in the presence of God, we'll be able to see him for who he really is. Yes, that's a promise that God has made us. And we will be identified with him. His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. Why? For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. What does it mean to reign forever and ever? Friends, it's a reigning of righteousness. And so, Brother Ryan, we got to be righteous now if we're going to reign later. Are we righteous? It's the gospel that actually positions us to be righteous, Romans 1, 16 and 17. It's the righteousness of God that we need to always pursue, as Jesus would say in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Righteousness. Well, God is the one that declares one right, not we ourselves. Go back to Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews 4 rather, because we considered some things as it relates to Hebrews 3, Hebrews 2, but now let's talk about Hebrews 4. And put your seatbelts on a little bit, you might feel a little bit of turbulence. The people of God during the time of the Israelites had a free course, if you will, to Canaan's land. The only thing they had to do was to follow God. Here, God would guide the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire, and he would guide the children of Israel. He would give them the law in Exodus chapter 20. He would sanctify that law, ratify that law in Exodus 24 and verse number 8. Now he's about to take them into the promised land. I just need you to do one thing. Obey me. Just obey me. Yet the people of God didn't do that. As a matter of fact, because of unbelief, they didn't enter in. As a matter of fact, they came short of the glory of God. What you mean? How do you come short of God's glory? Well, God has a standard. God has a righteous standard for all men that he desires for them to live up to. And he says, okay, I need you to live according to that standard. Well, they fell short of that. Look at verse 1, Hebrews 4. And this is the last point I want us to consider. We have to keep Jesus in mind. We have to take heed to our salvation, but we don't want to come short of the promise. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, or let us be reverent, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Come short of what? The promise? Yeah. How about coming short of the fear? Yeah. How about short of the rest? See, God gave Israel rest with Joshua. And so Joshua would take the children of Israel, Evelyn, and he would take the mantle from Moses, and he would lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And it would be as he would take them into the promised land, and they would conquer the nations. As they went into Canaan, God would then give them rest from all their enemies, which I found it very interesting. If I take this quick perusal, I'll be right back. God, he enters in through Ai, well, Jericho, and then Ai, and he goes all the way into what is known as the Mediterranean Sea. Yet, as God is destroying nations by his people, he has them situated by the Mediterranean Sea, but he leaves the enemies around them. I thought, like, why would you do that? Oh. See, God wanted his people to show the nations around them how to live. Isn't that what he does with us when we obey the gospel? Isn't that what he does with us as the people of God, children of God, members of the Lord's church? We come out of the world, we're baptized into Christ, watery grave of baptism, have our conscience cleansed from dead works. Now we're serving the living God. And then we go back out into the world and we're a light to the world. Well, hold on. God just saved us. Now get us out of here. Let me go on back home to where you are. No, I need you to stay down there a little bit, and you need to be a light to all those who are around. Now, here's the application for us, friends, because if we're going to rely upon the promise, then we need to understand the rest. See, rest is not down here. Ryan, give me Revelation 14:13. I want you to read that. Read it loud so everybody can hear it. See, one preacher said one time, if you're resting now, you're resting too soon. If you're resting now, you're resting too early. If you're resting now, you don't understand what work is. In Revelation 14, verse number 13, Jesus, by way of the Spirit, is talking to John, and he tells him, I need you to write something. What does the Bible say?
I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yes, of the Spirit, they may rest from their labor and at work.
Yes, yes, yes. Friends, right now is not the time for us to be resting. Right now is the time for us to be working. Working. Philippians 2 and verse number 12. Working. We need to be doing the work now. When Jesus was on the earth, John 9 and verse number 4, he said, I must work the work of him who sent me while his day, night come. No man can work. Right now is not the time to be resting. Because if I'm resting now, I have nothing to rest for later. Notice, go back to Hebrews 4. Look at this beautiful passage. Verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Hold on. How was the gospel preached to them? Those under the patriarchal system, those under the Mosaic system, two different systems, they were not under Christ. I thought the gospel was in relation to Christ and his church, Acts 8 and verse 12. But God preached the gospel. Galatians 3 and verse number 8. God preached the gospel. He preached it first to Abraham. He preached the gospel. God is the first gospel preacher. I'm getting too happy, Evelyn, I know. But that's not the point that I'm making today. The point that I'm making today is, if you notice what the text says, Hebrews writer says the gospel was preached to us as well as unto them, but it didn't take. Why not? Look at the text. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. What does it mean to come short of the promise? Brethren, and I say this in all sincerity and all love, we have to pay attention to our Christianity. We have to. Because if we don't, we'll look just like the world around us. Amen? And I'm not being ugly. I'm being very nice. You're not going to hop, skip, and jump into heaven. Christianity is intentional. And Jesus would say, any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit. The people of God were so worldly that the Bible teaches us by the words of Paul to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that over 23,000 died because they were engaging in fornication. Idolatry was running rampant amongst the people of God. They were not taking Christianity seriously. If I could say it that way. Brethren, we got to take it seriously. We got to rely upon the promises. God has given us promises. Mike, you need to take Christianity seriously. That's what I tell myself. Because if you don't, it is possible for you to preach the gospel and you to be lost. Now, that's me talking to me. And James would say, be not many teachers, for they shall receive the greater condemnation. Friends, we need to rely upon the promise of God. But again, God preached the gospel to them, but it wasn't mixed with faith. In other words, they didn't believe it. They didn't take it serious. And because of that, they didn't enter into the promised land. Look at the text. Look at the text. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his rest. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter it. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designated a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua, the King James says Jesus, but it's Joshua, had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for who? For us, as the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. In other words, we work until Jesus comes. We don't stop until Jesus comes. There's a day that is coming that we need to just be prepared for. That's Hebrews 10 and verse number 24 through verse 26. Friends, we don't know when that day is coming. We need to just keep on working. Keep on being righteous. Keep on trusting God. Keep on relying upon the promise. Do not get into the habit of quitting. Stay with it. This is all we have. God is all we have. The church is all we have. The Word of God is all we have. I beg you, I plead with you, please watch your salvation. Look at it closely. Consider the apostle and high priest. Consider Jesus. Analyze his life. Analyze those who did his will. Analyze who he is. Analyze who you are. Look at your life. Don't play with your life. You only have one life. And we're going to stand before Jesus Christ one day to give an answer of the things that we have done in this body, whether it be good or bad. And one day we will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Those are the words we want to hear. Those are our words. Anything other than that is failure. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Which tells me that nothing down here matters without him. Yet with him, everything matters. Without Jesus, there is no balance. With Jesus, life is balanced. So I beg you, I plead with you, please, from the pulpit to the back pew, please, guard your life. Watch your life. Guard your Christianity. Don't neglect your salvation. Understand who you're living for. And keep in mind that God has made a promise. And that promise, ultimately, this is my thinking. You can do whatever you want to with it. I believe ultimately the promise is to actually see God one day. Ultimately, that's what life is about. To see him in peace and to dwell with him throughout eternity. That's what life is about. And I can see him now, but I can only see him through my actions, through my mindset. And no wonder Jesus was saying, I'm done. Blessed are the peacemakers, or the pure in heart, rather, for they shall see God. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll offer the invitation. What's the invitation song? 380 is the invitation song. Let's pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, you have given us your word. You have given us time because we're here. We pray, Father, that we'll always honor you and always esteem your Son high in our lives. That we'll allow his lordship, his kingship, his rulership in our lives to take precedence over all things. Father, we struggle with that sometimes. Sometimes we want to be the ruler, the Lord, and the king and the prince of our own life. And Father, we ask that you humble us, that we may do your will. Father, you have given us promises. But Father, to see you in the end, to be in your presence, to see your face, that's what we want. So we pray, Father, that we will not neglect our salvation and that we'll keep Jesus in our minds and that we fall not short of your promise, your rest, your glory. We pray to Father that we'll be mindful of the type of lives that we should be living. But Father, this world has such a pull, and sometimes we're neglecting our Bible reading, and we're neglecting our meditation, and we neglect our association with your people. We pick and choose when we want to come to worship in Bible class, and Father, our lives reflect it, but we just don't have the strength sometimes to stop it and come back and do what's right. But Father, we know that you're serious, because we see the Old Testament that was written for our learning. We know that you're serious because we see those who have prospered spiritually and they're waiting for that day where all can be gathered together and be ushered into glory at the same time. Father, help us to take life serious. Help us to take our spirituality serious. Help us to understand that this is serious. And that you love us. And everything you do is for our good and your glory. Father, when we sin against thee, please forgive us. Help us to be people who will repent and confess. All because we understand of the great promise of life eternal that you have left us. We love you. We know sometimes as your people, we don't show it. But we do. And we're sorry when we fail thee. Ask that you be with the Ninth and Main congregation in a very special way and help us to take our job as a whole serious, that we work together and love one another and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider. We want you to consider the gospel. It is still the good news. 2,000 years later, it is still the good news of Jesus Christ. Will you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Will you be willing to repent? I mean, change your mind, which leads to a change of life. On the day of Pentecost, Peter told those good people there, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. 3,000 souls repented, confessed, and were baptized into Christ. Will you consider? Will you analyze that? Will you take those thoughts into your mind? Will you trust that? Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been. As a matter of fact, you've been neglecting your spirituality. Only you know. We can just see the fruit, but you know. And we would be less than preachers and elders here at Ninth and Main if we didn't every now and then just say, take this serious. You have to. Because the last thing you want, Sister Smith and I was talking about this the other day, the last thing we want as children of God who know the truth is to lift up our eyes in torment, to have eternity to think about, I had it and I let it go. Well, Brother Mike is not that serious. Die and find out. It's serious business. It's serious business. As we stand, as we sing, say this invitation.